Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the light of the Word. We pray that the blessed Holy Spirit may apply it to our hearts, that it may bring forth fruit in our lives to the glory of thy holy name. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, we thank thee for it. Amen. I pointed out before that the principal theme of St. John in his epistles is love. Throughout his teaching, he gives us good Christian doctrine, but it's all always interwoven with love. God's love for us, that comes first. Our love for him in response, our love for each other as a result. And as I pointed out before, this is the same apostle whom Jesus called the Son of Thunder because he wanted to burn the Samaritans alive for refusing them hospitality. Through the work of Jesus, this Son of Thunder became the apostle of love. Christianity, I love to say this, is the work of God in changing lives. If a professing Christian life has not been changed, he hasn't known Christ. Now let's begin with verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. He speaks of two rival spirits in the world, the spirit of God and the spirit of the world, which is the spirit of the wicked one. Jesus said, Satan is a liar from the beginning and the father of lies. So St. John says we have to test the spirits, try them, to be sure that their teaching is from God and not from the evil one. That's necessary because, he says, many false prophets have gone out into the world. You think they're cults and heresies now? 2,000 years ago, there were cults and heresies. In the apostles' day, many claiming to be Christian. I could name a half dozen of them. So teachers need to be tested. Sincerity and fervency are no necessary sign of truth. Some of the biggest heretics are fanatical about what they teach, and it's still a lie. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. St. John usually does this. He states the case positively, and then he states the case negatively. Positively, if you confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, it's of God. What he means is confessing the incarnation. That Jesus of Nazareth is the eternal God in the flesh. That's the teaching of God. The most destructive of all heresies is denying the deity of Christ. This doctrine can never be treated as more or less an open question or debatable or a thing of indifference, as the modernists do. If Christ is not, as St. Thomas said, your Lord and your God, he is not your Savior. The Word of God here tells us that those who deny that Christ is God have the spirit of Antichrist. That's a lot of religions and a lot of people. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You who are true believers have overcome the false teachers. The Lord will not let his true sheep go astray into error. And the reason for that is because God is in you. I've always loved that text. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He that is in the world is Satan, a fallen angel of immense power and malice. But he that is in you is greater. For Satan to overcome you, he has to overcome Christ, which obviously he cannot do. Something to think about when you're tempted, when you're weak. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. False teachers are of the world, the evil world system that opposes God. And because they are of the world is fine with them. You ever hear worldly people being upset about denying a doctrine of Christ? They don't care. The world ignores heretics. But the world is upset is the true Christian, because our values are the opposite of the world's. Jesus said, if ye were of the world would love its own. But the true Christian opposes the values of the world, and so the world opposes us. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And that is not, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The we here is we, the apostles. We, the apostles, St. John says, are of God, and those who hear the teaching of the apostles are of God. Those who know God and believe the apostolic teaching, they believe the Bible, are of God. Those who don't accept the apostolic teaching are not of God, and that's the spirit of truth and the spirit of error tested. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Loving one another, a great theme of St. John, is a sign of being born again. Love is of God, and when a person is saved, that person becomes a person of love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Those who don't have love don't have God. It's logical. If God is love, then those who don't know love don't know God. Now, here's another text that's extremely important, one of the most profound in the Bible. Three words, God is love. It's his very nature. It's not just an attribute. It's who he is. It's like when we say God is light, we mean he's a being of infinite and perfect intellect. God is love, that means he's a being of infinite and perfect love by his very nature. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this was manifested. This is a concrete example of his love toward us. He sent his Son into the world for his elect, that they might live through him. Notice what salvation is called. It's called life. You know, the unsaved are in spiritual death. And when they go to hell, that's called the second death. They're still conscious, but they're in eternal death. By contrast, in Christ, we have eternal life. He sent his Son that we might have life. We might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Our love, though it is real, is a dim shadow of the love of God. The most perfect manifestation of God's love is sending his Son to save your soul. When you were unable to save yourself, he saved you. And this is where the doctrine of election is so precious. You know, so many Christians believe that Jesus came and died for the sins of all people, trying to save them all. Been a massive failure. Even after 2,000 years, only 1/3 of the world's population claim to be Christian. And the vast majority of them are probably not saved. But Scripture says Jesus came to save his sheep, not his goats. He laid down his life for the sheep. He said, I came to save those whom the Father has given me, also known as the elect. And so that's a precious doctrine because it means God sent his Son for you personally, not for mankind in general, for you. He loved you before he made the world. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now you think in this text, it would say, if God so loved us, then we ought to love God. But since that's so obvious, so self-evident, that he passes on to state what necessarily follows. If God has loved us like that, self-sacrificing love, shouldn't we be like that ourselves? No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. When it says here, no man has seen God, the Greek indicates that this is not any person of the Godhead, but the Godhead itself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, Jehovah the Trinity. No man has ever seen or ever will be able to see God as the Trinity. Now it's true that in Jesus we see God, but we don't see him as the infinite being that he is. We see him manifest in the flesh as one of us. But St. John says, if we love one another, if we love God's image, you know what that does? It perfects your love for God. It matures and strengthens your love for God the more you love other people. Now before us we have spread today the table of Holy Communion, the banquet of love. Let us remember that God's love came first. Secondly, that we love God in response to his love for us. And thirdly, the result is, as the mystical body of Christ, we love one another. Let us pray. Love is of God, for God is love. Dear Lord, we do pray that thou wilt fill our hearts with thy divine love, that we may love thee for what thou hast done for us, and that we, through this love, may love one another. All to the honor of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen.